Jesus is speaking with his disciples shortly before he is arrested. John 15, verse 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So how can losing something ever be good? Like if, for example, you lose your car keys or your phone or your diary, if you lose things like that, how can that be good? If you leave your bag on the bus, it's never good, is it? It's a bit of a nuisance, inconvenience, annoying, frustrating, even upsetting, depending on what we left behind. It's a waste of time. It'll make you late. You can never say it's good, can you, when you lose something? What about if that something you lose is not a thing, but a person? It's a loved one who's died, a good friend or a colleague or a mentor that you've lost. That would be awful, wouldn't it? You can never say that was good. But that seems to be what we read here this morning as we open our Bibles. And those words from Jesus, chapter 16 and verse 7, he says to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. It's for your good. Hard words for the disciples to hear and not easy words for us to understand either. The backdrop here, of course, just like last week, it's Maundy Thursday evening, the night before Jesus died. Supper with his friends has left those friends upset and confused. And they've begun to realize the implications of the cross. Jesus is leaving them. They're going to be on their own. Their thoughts now turn inwards and upon themselves. We can't do this, can we? It's going to be too hard, isn't it? We're not very good and we don't know what we're doing. How can we cope without Jesus? It doesn't take much to get into that negative kind of mindset, does it? Especially in the face of what it is and indeed who it is that they're about to lose. And so turn back to Jesus. How is he going to comfort a bunch of dejected disciples who are flagging before they've even got started? Well, he promises here to send them help, a helper in the form of the Holy Spirit, to be with them once he's gone. Jesus is going to the cross and back to the Father. And as he goes, so the Holy Spirit will be sent to them in his place. So what is this Holy Spirit? Who is he and what is he for? What does he do? How can we see him ourselves? Well, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit is a he and not an it. He's the third person of the Godhead with the Father and the Son. We can't see him, we can't touch him, but if we know what we're looking for, then we can see what he's doing and the effect that he's having in God's world. And for dejected disciples, that is going to be crucial, isn't it? It's going to be a great encouragement to them. God isn't going to leave us on our own in this. No, he's sending us help. He's left us a job to do, but he's still going to be with us, not now as the Son in human form, but as Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who Jesus will send in the Father's name. And so here's the thing. We're not going to see the Holy Spirit in person, but if we know what we're looking for, we'll be able to see what he's up to in our lives and in the lives of others. And so let's have a closer look now at this little job description that Jesus gives us, so that we know what to expect and so that we have eyes to see what the Spirit is up to. First heading on the sheet this morning, see the Spirit as he proclaims the risen Jesus. That is the first role identified here of the Holy Spirit, one who proclaims the truth about Jesus. It's verse 26, right at the top. Jesus says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit here described as an advocate, and sometimes also called a counselor. An advocate, that's someone, isn't it, who speaks in the place of someone else, who makes a case on behalf of another. That's a really helpful way of seeing what the Holy Spirit is up to here and how he's going to work in the lives of these first disciples. You see that in the middle. He will testify about me, says Jesus. The Spirit will speak up for the Son. He will reveal Jesus to people. But you see, he's not going to do that on his own. It's something of a partnership that's going on here with the disciples as the eyewitnesses, with the Holy Spirit as the advocate working alongside, giving them the words to say and the way in which to say them. You also must testify, says Jesus, for you've been with me from the beginning. Now, these now 11 frightened followers are uniquely placed to speak of the Lord, aren't they? Which of us could ever claim that we've been with Jesus from the beginning? That's certainly, we just can't say that's true. But they were there. They were amongst that group right from the start, with their wealth of personal knowledge and experience of Jesus, the guys who've been alongside him every step of the way. They've heard the teaching and they've seen the miracles. They've laughed and cried together. They've had the privilege of knowing Jesus in the flesh. And it's to these guys that Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will testify about me, and you also must testify. See how it works out? It's a partnership, isn't it? The Holy Spirit using faithful people to testify about the Son, giving those disciples not only the words to say, but the boldness to go and say it. Reminding them of the things that Jesus did and said. The Holy Spirit working in their minds, using their mouths to communicate to others, to make a convincing case for Jesus Christ. And as we see that, as we hear that in our own day, as we hear Jesus being faithfully taught and proclaimed, then we can be sure that we've seen the Holy Spirit at work. When we hear God's truth being unpacked and applied in all its fullness, well, there he is again, the Holy Spirit ministering truth to the people of God, proclaiming Jesus. Now, whilst those first disciples, they did have a unique role in all of this, didn't they? That's changed as the Bible has come together, as the gospel accounts have been written and now are in our hands, with the eyewitness accounts open in front of us. we too can now testify about Jesus in partnership with that very same Spirit, the Advocate from heaven. And as we do so, we can be praying that the Spirit might take our words and use them for God's purposes, that he might give us the boldness to speak when we're timid or reluctant. Words of truth, as they go out, that they might find good soil, receptive hearts. We could certainly be praying that for the team this afternoon, the Fresh team, as they go to a new place in a new work to proclaim Jesus to a new generation. It'll be great, won't it, to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit even today at work amongst those who gather a little bit later on this afternoon. And we need to pray this for ourselves too, don't we? Our conversations on our front lines, the places that we find ourselves Monday to Saturday, wherever that is for you, as you sit down at a tea break with a colleague or drop in on one of your friends, here is the help that you need to speak boldly for Jesus. God's advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you in that moment as you do your best to make Jesus known. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of, isn't it? As we proclaim the risen Jesus, so the Spirit also proclaims with us that very same truth in us and through us, that it might be heard and understood and acted upon. We really can't do this on our own. Indeed, were we to do it on our own, we'd be completely wasting our time. We'll never convince anyone of anything. So we need the Spirit's help. Please, Lord, give us the eyes to see the Spirit, to see what he's up to, that we might be encouraged to keep on going with our witness as we see him at work in us and through us and in the lives of others. The middle section here is yet another reminder that the world stands opposed to all of this, not least to the message of Jesus and all that he stands for. Listen as I read from verse 1 of chapter 16. Jesus said, "All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them." Shocking, isn't it, that the world could get Jesus so wrong? Yet this is the world in which the disciples will soon find themselves, a world which in chapter 15 we read the world hates the disciples. Hostility, persecution, even being hounded out of the synagogue, flogged and even killed for speaking up for the Lord. This is not a pleasant place to find themselves. And look, isn't it as the temperature of that hostility rises that we come to depend more and more on the Holy Spirit's help? When we're tempted to bail out and tempted to run for cover, verse 1, Jesus says, "I've told you this so you will not fall away." See, proclaiming Jesus, it's never a neutral activity. It's sometimes uncomfortable. Sometimes we'll face outright hostility. And so we need to ask for God's help as we go and do it. To ask ourselves if we're prepared to join the Holy Spirit in proclaiming Christ, whatever the hardship and whatever the cost. Heading 2 then, see the Spirit as he convicts the world of sin. Because the reason we need the Holy Spirit's help is because without him, we'll not be able to make a case for Christ. Without God's help, we'll never be able to see ourselves as we truly are. When it comes to God and our sinfulness before him, us humans won't be able to work this out on our own. And so bringing this truth to bear in our lives is the second role of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 7, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." See what happens when the Holy Spirit arrives? He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, this is a particularly tricky bit of John's book to understand. Let's have a go through a worked example, if we may. Imagine a guy called Kilnas Clive. He's a regular guy down in the village somewhere, and just made him up. Clive isn't a Christian. Apart from a bit of Sunday school when he was a kid, Clive's really never had any interest in Christian things. The question for us, as he stands, what is Clive thinking about sin and righteousness and judgment? Well, being of the world, Clive doesn't see himself as a sinner. He thinks sin is what bad people do, or at least what other people do. The kind of grown-up naughtiness that might get someone into a bit of bother with the boss or even a slap on the wrist from the boys in blue. But the way Clive sees it, he can basically live how he likes in this life and it'll all turn out okay in the end. That's what Clive thinks about sin. And that leaves Clive to think that actually he's quite a nice bloke, really. He really doesn't need to change anything about his life or his lifestyle to find himself in pretty good standing with God when the time comes. He might not go to church or be very religious, but he genuinely thinks that he and God are like on the same page. And again, it's all going to be okay in the end. If you were to ask Clive if he's going to heaven, he says, well, I hope so. Looking at his life, he thinks he's probably done enough to scrape through God's final judgment and to earn a place in heaven when the time comes. And I guess the question is, well, do you know anyone like Clive who thinks the same way as he does? He represents what most people in the world think, that sin is for others, that actually we're okay with God as we are. And on that basis, final judgment is going to go okay in the end. Fingers crossed, I guess. Now, those of us who know the gospel know that Clive is on completely the wrong page when it comes to understanding God and the gospel and why Jesus came to earth. He's on a sticky wicket, isn't he? He's got it all wrong. Unless he finds out the truth, he's in grave danger on that final judgment day. And now can we see what the Holy Spirit's role is in all of this? Because Jesus clearly says he comes to convict the world of the reality of sin. Verse 8 again, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Holy Spirit's job is actually to help people like Clive to undo all of that wrong thinking about sin and righteousness and to replace the wrong thinking with a gospel understanding, with right thinking of the truth about Jesus. Because when it comes to sin, the world has got it wrong. It doesn't think it needs a saviour. It's shown that by rejecting Jesus and sort of keeping him at arm's length. When it comes to righteousness, the world's working assumption is that actually we're all okay with God. So the world has then rejected the cross as the only way for people to be reconciled with their Maker. People haven't heard or understood the Bible's claim that there is no one righteous, not even one, because all have fallen short, all have turned away. And again, when it comes to final judgment, the world has got it wrong in thinking that it'll all turn out okay in the end. That's just not true, is it? Only those with faith in the Lord Jesus will be saved. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name than Jesus in which we must be saved. And so do you see, when someone comes from a wrong understanding to a right one, when someone does that, that's the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. When that change comes through the Word of God being explained or simply just read, it's that same kind of partnership, isn't it? The Holy Spirit doing a supernatural work in the heart of an unbeliever, proving them to be wrong about the way they used to think and replacing the wrong with a right, Jesus-centered gospel understanding, showing them their sin, showing them the Saviour, taking them to the cross, convicting and convincing people into repentance and faith. And so this morning, if you know yourself to be a believer, then give thanks to the Father that the Holy Spirit did this in your life, whenever that was. He's been at work. Your life has changed. And you are the proof of that. You wouldn't think that the Holy Spirit had not done that work in your life, would you? It wasn't you who decided. It was the Holy Spirit helping you come to a right understanding. Well, finally, see the Spirit as he glorifies Jesus in every way. So that's the third way that we can see the Spirit at work, simply by showing us more and more of Jesus. Verse number 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Well, here is the Spirit acting something like a spotlight, not wanting the glory on himself, but clearly pointing away from himself, pointing to Jesus as God's fullest and most final revelation of himself. He guides us into truth by reminding us of the things that Jesus said and did, not least his death for our sin and being raised to glory on the third day. The Holy Spirit will receive from Jesus and he will speak what he hears. His job isn't to bring new or novel revelation about God. Rather, it is to take us time and time again back to the Son, back to the cross, keep pressing home and pressing us back to Jesus. And as he does so, as the Spirit makes much of the Son, so the Son will be more and more glorified in and of himself. As the Son is revealed more and more to the people of God, so his glory increases. And when I find myself compelled to look again at Jesus and take myself back to the cross, well, I can be sure that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to me, showing me new things and deeper things about the Son from heaven, whom the Father loves. And we only get the Holy Spirit helper once Jesus has gone back into heaven. Unless I go away, he says, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And what a wonderful gift that is, as the disciples lose Jesus to the cross, so they and we gain this remarkable ministry, the Holy Spirit in his place. And so I guess that's the question. Will we let the Holy Spirit minister to us in these various ways? Will we hear his gentle promptings? Will we respond to his call? Will we ask him to help us as we come to God's word? And will we be open to him changing us as we see Jesus more and more? Will we let him take us to the Son and take us to the cross and be filled with all that God has done for us? Will we join the Holy Spirit in making much of Jesus in our own lives so that he in the end might get all the glory? And at the start of 2020, will we ask God to give us eyes to see this Spirit working in us and through us and amongst us? Because friends, considering we can't see or touch the Spirit, there are just so many ways that we can see him working, if only we have eyes to see. So when I hear of Christians facing terrible persecution and yet not falling away, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. When the good news of Jesus is clearly presented and people understand it, it's the Holy Spirit again, isn't it? When I hear God's truth proclaimed in such a way that I'm moved in my heart and changed by it, when people are convicted of their sin and their eyes are open to the truth, when hearts are changed in repentance and faith, when truth is revealed and falsehood corrected, when Jesus is glorified as the Saviour King from heaven, well, friends, we can be sure this Holy Spirit is at work in us and through us in all these ways. When these things happen, we'll see the Spirit. Well, let's pray for his help and pray for his work, that we might see him more and more. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you so very much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the ways in which we can already see him ministering in our own lives and in the lives of others. And yet, Father, we pray for more, that we would see more clearly what you're doing amongst us. We pray for that Spirit to be at work in the lives of many unbelievers known to us. And we pray too for our own lives, that he would be ministering to us, taking us to Jesus and to the cross, that we might see him more clearly day by day. And so we thank you for this morning. Help us as we consider and continue to think about all of these things, in Jesus' name. Amen.